want to invite you to take your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Ephesians, the sixth chapter, Ephesians chapter 6, and that will be the basis of our lesson this morning. Good to see everyone here, especially those of you who may be visiting with us. We are so glad that you've come our way and to study with us in the Word of God this morning. We're going to be talking this morning about raising our children. Now, first of all, I want to get some preliminary matters out of the way. Number one, I am not an expert at child rearing. I have had two sons. I think both of them have turned out pretty well, but I'm not going to take all the credit for it. I promise you, it was not me. I do know, though, what the Bible says about raising children. And if we turn to the Scriptures to be guided by the Scriptures in our parenting, then I believe that we will be, if we apply the principles, that is, the kind of parents that God wants us to be, and then the product will evident itself in our children. Now, that does also not take away the fact that children have free will. Children make their own decisions. There comes a time when children decide for themselves how they want to live their life. But if you as parents do what the Lord teaches you to do, the odds are, generally speaking, they will turn out to be servants of the Lord Most High and be faithful to Him all the days of their life. We'll talk about that a little later in the lesson this morning. Also, I want to say this, that whatever may sound to be critical regarding some of our parents, I'm not up here this morning to criticize anyone. We have several parents of younger children, and I admire you, I appreciate you, and I thank you for taking the time to bring your children to services, to instruct them in the way that they need to go. And hopefully simply the things that we have to say this morning will help you as you are dealing with them through this difficult time, because I had to go through that as well. I want to share a story with you about someone that many of you know. You don't know him as I know him, because I knew him when he was a little child. And I remember his mother picking him up and throwing him over her shoulder to take him outside because he had been acting up in services. And as she was walking down the aisle, he yells this out, "Please pray for me." He knew, though, what was fixing to happen to him when he got out of those doors. And he also, of course, knew who could help him. That is the Lord. And he wanted us to pray for him. But we need to understand that there comes a time when we may need to take our children out, and we need to correct them. We need to apply physical force from time to time. And that only teaches them to be honoring of you as a parent and as of God. In Ephesians, the sixth chapter. Ephesians chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, or the training and admonition of the Lord. We see in this particular text some important principles, some important facts. First of all, parents are to be obeyed. Now, this lesson is not directed to the children. Paul is addressing the children in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Now, there is a command for you. Now, you remember that and you obey that. But there is also an implication in that statement. Parents have authority over you. God-given authority over you. And parents need to exercise that authority. Secondly, parents are to be respected. Children, honor your father and mother. They are to be respected. This implies parental importance. God put parents in the home for a reason. That is to direct those children, to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Their role, their task is important. Their place is important. Thus, it is worthy of respect. Then thirdly, fathers are responsible for the training of their children. That implies stewardship, and we cannot take that duty, that responsibility, lightly. Fathers specifically, you have a grave responsibility. you have placed within your care if you are a father. A precious prize, a precious possession that cannot be ignored, neglected, or abused. You have a duty and responsibility in regard to that. Now, children are to obey their parents in all things. In dealing with parental authority, children are to obey their parents in all things. Colossians 3 and verse 20 tells us so. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well pleasing to the Lord. And something that we are familiar with, we've heard this over and over again, but you know, there are only certain circumstances that you as a son or daughter are not required by God to obey your parents. Those certain circumstances would be this, that your parents command you to do something that God has forbidden you to do, or your parents forbid you to do something that God has commanded you to do. Otherwise, children, you are to obey your parents in all things. Your parents have no responsibility or they have no authority to tell you to do something that God has forbidden you to do, nor do they have the right to forbid you to do something that God has commanded you to do. You must obey God rather than men. So keep that in mind. But otherwise, you may not agree with their requirements, you may not agree with their positions, but guess what? You need to obey them in all things. Parents now must be parents. I was watching Bill Cosby several years ago, the Cosby Show. And one of his kids comes in, you know, and they're just kind of wild and acting crazy and stuff. And Bill tells them to do something, and they looked at him like he was crazy, you know. A lot of children look at their parents that way. My children have looked at me that way. Who are you? And Bill's response to the look was, who do you think I am? Just the biggest person living in this house? And you know what? That's the way a lot of parents think, I guess, of themselves. They just think of themselves as being the biggest people in the house. And they forsake their authority. They do not exercise their authority. Parents must be parents. Now, I understand the importance also of having a relationship with your children. But you know, we can push this relationship thing as far as friendship is concerned to an extent where we do not need to take it. We do need to be friendly. We do need to associate and have a relationship. But you are a parent. You are a parent. Act like a parent. Exercise the authority. Yes, be friends, but also do not neglect the important role of being a parent. Proverbs 19 and verse 18. Chasten your son while there is hope, and do not set your heart on his destruction. Chasten your son while there is hope. That has the implication of, well, spanking, paddling, disciplining through means such as correcting. There are a lot of ways to correct a child and even punish a child when they do something that is wrong. But it's something that should be done. Children should be punished when they do something that is wrong. When there are clear rules set forth in advance, say, if you do this, this is what I'm going to do. And then when they do that, you do what you said you were going to do. If you do not do what you said you were going to do, your child learns a lesson that they will never forget. I can do whatever I want. And let me tell you something, that is a dangerous road to travel down. Chasten your son while there is hope. Do not withhold correction from a child. Part of being in authority means that you are to be in control of the situation. Let me tell you why that is. Number one, children are not as smart as they think they are. Especially teenagers. They're not as smart as they think they are. Parents are supposed to be smarter. They're supposed to have more wisdom and understanding. And therefore, they need to be guided. They need to be corrected. Children do. They need to be corrected. Because they make mistakes. They do things that are wrong. And it's the parents' responsibility to point those things out and to correct them when they do that which is wrong. And I know children don't like that. But it's something that must be done. For if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. Now, that I know that that is contrary to what you hear on television. That you may read in a book, Dr. Field's books or something like that. It may be contrary to that. But this is what the Bible says. I'm going to believe what the Bible says. I believe that God knows more about His creation and how to handle His creation than Dr. Phil does or anybody else, Dr. Spock or some of these other fellows. God knows what He's talking about. If you beat Him with a rod, He will not die. You shall beat Him with a rod and deliver His soul from hell, is what the Bible says about it. Parents must exercise their authority. They must take their authoritative role. The rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. Now, this is what the Bible says about as far as correcting is concerned. In 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 13, "For I have told him that I will judge his house." And this is talking about Eli. He had two sons that had become rebellious and turned away from God, and they were abusing their priesthood, their priest office. And God says, "For I have told him, Eli, that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows, because his sons made themselves vile, and he did not restrain them." Who did God hold responsible for his disobedient sons? And if we fail to restrain our children while we have the authority over them and correct them, discipline them, do whatever it needs. Now, by the way, that word discipline, what do you think about when you hear the word discipline? You think about a switch, a hickory switch? Do you think about a belt? What do you think about? The word discipline simply means to teach, to instruct, and to correct. And all those things are involved in that particular term. And discipline is the act of doing exactly what the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. To train up your children. To discipline your children. To train them. And training, as we know, involves putting them through certain tests and putting them into activities and disciplining them, correcting them, even punishing them when need be. Your child's learning to respect the authority of God begins where? It begins with them learning to respect you. And if you do not exercise that authority, they will never learn properly to respect God. Genesis 18 and verse 19, there God speaks of Abraham, knowing that Abraham will teach his children after him and teach him the ways of God to do righteousness and justice. In 1 Chronicles chapter 22, verses 11 through 13, chapter 28 and verse 9 and verse 20, those passages are all dealing with David teaching his son Solomon and instructing him in the way of the Lord and pointing him to God the Father. In Proverbs chapter 4, in verses 1 through 5, actually I have 1 through 4 there on the chart, but verses 1 through 5, let's turn over there and I want to read that particular text. Proverbs chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, "Hear my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, 'Let your heart retain my words, keep my commands and live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth.'" You know, teaching is so important. Parents are to be obeyed, and their teaching is to be followed. And in teaching our children the things of God, then they learn to respect God. Over in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 9. "Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we pay them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live?" We need to show proper respect for our parents, and by doing that we show proper respect for God, and we learn how to respect God. What are your children doing? What are they watching? What are they hearing? What are they reading? Where are they going? Do you know where your children are? As parents, you have a responsibility to be involved in your children's lives. And the temptation... I was in Little League baseball for many years. And I know firsthand what many parents do. They bring their children up to the ballpark, let them out the door, and then they close the door, and guess what? We're up there at 11 o'clock that night trying to find them. They're out running around on the town somewhere, and they've left us to babysit their children, and we've had to take them home many a nights. We need to be involved in our children, whatever activities they may be involved in. We need to be involved. We need to be right there. We need to know what our children are watching, what they're hearing, what they're reading, and what they're doing. You know, Michael has always had friends, and so has Brandon, and we have always had our doors open to all of their friends. I had much rather them be there at our house messing up stuff than I had for them to be out on the streets. We need to be involved. We need to know where our children are. And we need to take the parental authority that we have. Where are they going and with whom? Who are your children's friends? You know how important that is? If your children's friends are ungodly friends, the danger of your child getting involved to the point of also engaging in those ungodly practices with them is very great indeed. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good morals. Was Paul wrong about that? Where are they going and with whom? What are their priorities? What do they love most of all? What is most important to them? Whose responsibility is it to do their very best to teach them what should be most important in their life? That's the parent. You as a parent have the responsibility to teach them what is most important in their life. And the most important thing in their life is God, whether they know it or not. And parents, we need to teach our children that. God is the most important thing. We need to teach them, first and foremost, to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Then all these other things will be added to them. First things first. We need to teach our children that. Now, parents are to be honored. That's what the Apostle Paul said. Honor your father and your mother. Honor your parents. There are implications of that, as we said. The implication is primarily that parents are important and their work needs to be respected. They are responsible for providing physical needs. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8, the fellow who doesn't provide for his own household is worse than an infidel. Providing protection from the world, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33. That is, you know, I think that parents need to be personally involved in who their children's friends are. In Ephesians chapter 6, there in verses 2 and 3, again, the Apostle Paul says that it may be well with you, that you may live long on the earth. You know, protecting them is not merely protecting them from the external physical dangers, but also from the spiritual dangers that are there. We need to be aware of that. Providing the proper instruction, 2 Timothy chapter 3, and verses 14 and 15. Here we have the example of Lois and Eunice. The mother and grandmother of Timothy spent their time teaching him the Scriptures. Do we as parents take the time to teach our children the Scriptures like we should? But you must continue in the things which you have learned and have been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Timothy had been taught those things from the time that he was a young child. And then, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, and verse 6, and these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. Now, first of all, there in that particular verse, in that particular text, God is speaking to the people of Israel. He's speaking to, well, including parents. And the Word of God is to be in their hearts. Friend, if you are not providing the proper example for your child is more, or is very likely, not to receive your teaching, even though you're telling them the right way to go. You must also provide the proper example, and that begins with the Word of God being where? In your heart. You have to have your own faith. You have to be convicted. You have to be converted. You have to be a person who is faithful to the Lord. Providing the proper example demands that. And that is what the Lord needs you to be, and He wants you to be. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, there, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and am persuaded is in you also. The genuine faith that is in you, what did he say about his grandmother and his mother? That they also had genuine faith. How important is that for us as parents to have? Genuine faith. If we want to bring our children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, we need that. It's important. A parent will receive respect from their children when they do certain things. When they, first of all, truly love their child. Do you truly love your children? Every parent that I know will say yes to that and mean that. But do we properly express that? A parent who truly loves his child will let that be known. Now, that doesn't mean that you tell them that every day. What it means is if chastise them, correct them, rebuke them, instruct them, lift them up and encourage them. All of those things are expressions of love. In fact, what does the Bible say about a father who does not correct his son? Says that he hates him. To truly love our children is to think about their well-being, both physical and especially and most importantly, spiritual. To truly love our children is expressed by the way that we treat them and by the way we discipline them. And a child knows whether you truly love them or not. And if we truly love them, they will receive correction. Now, they may not like it right then at the moment. But looking back from personal experience, I am so thankful that my mother, who was mostly the disciplinarian in my home, I remember getting a spanking from my daddy one time. One time. And I'll never forget it. But, I tell you what, I respect them and I love them because they corrected me. They whipped me when I needed it. They lifted me up when I needed it. They were there for them when I needed them to be there. And that's what true love does. And even when you punish them, they respect you because they know that you did it with love. You've heard that expression, it hurts me more than it hurts you. You probably said that before, haven't you? It hurts me more than it hurts you. And I've always looked up at my parents and said, you've got to be kidding me. But now I understand. I understand that. Respect your child's needs and desires. Thirdly, we must be consistent. And we must discipline in a manner that is fair and practice what we teach. As parents, we must put into practice what we're telling them. And that goes along with being consistent. That ties right in with respecting the child's needs. We understand what they really are. And be fair. You know, it is not good parenting when you have two children to punish one for one crime, and when the other one does the same thing, not to punish that one. You need to be fair about that. Now, there are also different circumstances, and I understand this. If you have two teenage sons, let's say that you have twins. One of them, they're driving the family car, and there's a deer that runs out in front of them. They run off the road to avoid the deer, and they wreck the car. Well, you know, what can you do about that? I've done the same thing. Denise has done it a bunch. But we understand that. I'm not going to punish my son for doing that. But what if the other one was driving down the road? He wrecked the family car right after we got it fixed. But he'd been drinking. You think I'm going to handle that situation differently? You better believe it. You better believe it. So we need to be fair in our exercising of discipline. And again, we must be the proper example. Parental stewardship. We are responsible as parents for the training of our children. Whether we want to accept that responsibility or not, that responsibility is there, and it will meet us on the day of judgment. That's a sobering thought. Psalms 127 and verse 3, children are a heritage of the Lord. They are a precious possession given to us by God, and we are stewards over that possession. We are thus responsible. Stewardship implies that very thing. Again, the example of Eli and his sons in 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 29. Let's turn back to 1 Samuel. And look at this example of Eli and his sons. First of all, 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 29. In fact, let me back up to verse 22. Let's just read through the context here. Now, Eli was very old, and he heard everything his sons did to all Israel, and how they lay with the women who assembled at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. So he said to them, and he approached them, and he said to them, "Why do you do such things? For I hear of your evil dealings with all the people. No, my sons, for it is not a good report that I hear. You make the Lord's people transgress. If one man sins against another, God will judge him. But if a man sins against the Lord, who will intercede for him? Nevertheless, they did not heed the voice of their father, because the Lord desired to kill them." Now, we'll read in a moment where, and we've already read, in fact, the passage where it says that Eli did not restrain them. He went to them. He talked to them. He confronted them about their sin and their evil doings. But wait a minute. Did he go far enough? Did he exercise his parental authority as he should have? In fact, we can read on down in verse 30. Well, let's just keep on reading here. Now, where did I stop at, by the way? Verse 29. Let's pick up verse 29. "Why do you kick at my sacrifice and my offering, which I have commanded in my dwelling place, and honor your sons more than me, to make yourselves fat with the best of all the offerings of Israel, my people? Therefore, the Lord God of Israel says, I said indeed that your house and the house of your father would walk before me forever. But now, the Lord says, far be it from me. For those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Behold, the days are coming that I will cut off your arm and the arm of your father's house, so that there will not be an old man in your house. And you will see an enemy in my dwelling place, despite all the good which God does for Israel. And there shall not be an old man in your house forever, but any of your men whom I do not cut off from my altar shall consume your eyes and grieve your heart. And all the descendants of your house shall die in the flower of their age. Now this shall be a sign to you that will come upon your two sons, on Hophni and Phinehas, and one day they shall die, both of them." God is telling Eli that I'm fixing to kill your sons. It's going to happen. They're going to die. In chapter 3 and verse 13, look at what this passage says again. "For I have told him," that's what we just read as a matter of fact, what he's talking about, "that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows," he knew about it, "because his son made themselves vile, and he did not restrain them." Eli had a responsibility as their father, and he didn't exercise that responsibility. You know what? Eli and Phinehas were grown men. At least, I don't know how old they were, but they were old enough to take part in the priestly duties and functions. But Eli still had responsibilities over them. Now, I'm sure that responsibility did not begin, or it was not dealing with just that particular moment. But from the previous life of both of those young men, as they were growing up, apparently Eli failed in his responsibility toward them in restraining them as he should. Being a good steward takes effort. Good parents, good parenting requires thought, preparation, and effort. You will not be a good parent just by taking things as they come, and just by neglecting your responsibilities and duties. It takes effort. It takes work. And one of the problems in our society today, in our culture, is that parents, in fact, this is the biggest problem of our society, parents have forsaken their duties and responsibilities. They have not put the work into being a good parent. How important is it that parents accept their responsibilities, their stewardship responsibilities over their children? Bringing them up. The idea of bringing up. The Greek word is defined like this: to rear up to maturity, that is generally to cherish or train. To nurture. The Greek word means to be a tutor, that is education or training, by implication disciplinary correction. Chastening, chastisement, instruction, and nurture. You know, it's amazing here, the Apostle Paul using these terms, bring up, nurture, and then to admonish. That is to call attention to something. That is to, by implication, a mild rebuke or warning. Parents are to train up their children in the nurture and the admonition or training and admonition of the Lord, as the Lord directs, of course, as He has instructed us. The teachings and training and admonition is for the primary purpose of equipping them to serve the Lord. That is why parents are to fulfill this responsibility. They are to train them to serve the Lord, to fulfill their duties as citizens of Christ's kingdom. Children are to be trained. You know, let me ask you a question. Let's say we were going to send an army somewhere like we have right now in Iraq. Let's say that we were going to send that army, but we decided we're not going to train them for that mission. Do you think we'd be successful in our efforts? If we weren't going to train men and send them over to Iraq, we just send them over there, do you think we would be successful? What does it mean to train a soldier? I've never been through that, but I have a son who has been, and I know a little bit about it. And I know that many of you have been through that. There's a lot that goes into being trained. And we need to train our children. We need to take that responsibility to be able to fight the battles of life. It takes training. Preparing them for service in the Lord's kingdom. We need to be busy doing that. When it comes to teaching, you know, information, illustration, and exemplification are all parts of teaching. In fact, you could say that this is the three legs of teaching. We give information, pass that information from our minds and our understanding to theirs. We then illustrate that by trying to get them to understand it, maybe putting it in different terms, different words, vocabulary. Then thirdly, we exemplify that. In other words, we walk before them. We demonstrate before them how it is done. That is teaching. Are we teaching our children the things that they need to be taught? Are we passing them information? Are we illustrating it so that they can understand it and taking the time to do that and break it down for them? Are we exemplifying what we're to be teaching them as parents? What is the most important thing that we are to be teaching our children? I submit to you that the most important thing is the Word of God. Certainly we should be involved in their secular education. We should help them along that line, no doubt. But we should realize the most important, the fundamental thing, and the fundamental responsibility that we as parents have, as stewards, is to teach them the things of God. And when we fail in that duty, that responsibility, we have failed as being good stewards, being good parents. The most important thing, again, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 15, and Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9, which was read in your hearing this morning. What was the duty of the parents of the nation of Israel? To teach their children. Always have the Word of God in front of them at all times. We as parents need to do that as well. We need to be busy teaching our children. Passing them information on how to do certain things, illustrating how to do these things, and exemplifying that by showing them the proper example. Where are our priorities? As parents, for example, where are our priorities? First of all, we need to tell our children, yes, that God must come first. We need to tell them that. We need to teach them what Matthew 6 and verse 33 says. But secondly, you know what we need to do? We need to illustrate that for them. And we need to tell them that God comes first in every aspect of our lives. God must come first. We need to put Him first. In other words, we need to take it from the principle and put it to application on it.
We need to make sure that our worship and service to God comes first before anything else. Our assembling with the saints should come first before assembling with our baseball team or football team or basketball team. Our assembling with the saints should come first and above and beyond, going fishing and hunting together, although we may enjoy that kind of thing. Our assembling with the saints must come first. The church must come first. When it comes to our efforts and the things that we are engaged in, there's nothing wrong with having a lot of good activities to be engaged in. Nothing wrong with having hobbies that we might like to participate in. But what comes first? We need to emphasize to our children that God, the church, the kingdom of heaven, and spiritual matters must come first in their lives. And it's not just that we teach them those facts and illustrate that and try to put that into application. We need to demonstrate it in our own attendance, in our own life. We need to show them what comes first, the Scriptures. We need to make sure that they realize the Scripture, what the Scriptures teach. Pass the information, illustrate it, and exemplify it by putting the Scriptures to use in our own life. Being the spiritual parents that we ought to be. When it comes to right from wrong, we need to teach them what is right and what is wrong. Illustrate that and exemplify that by living a life that is following the right path. To respect the authority of the Scriptures primarily, fundamentally, teaching them to respect you as parents and teaching them to respect all the authorities that God has placed in existence. We need to teach them the information. What does the Bible say? Romans 13. What does it say about the governing authorities? We need to pass that information on and exemplify. We need to teach them responsibility. Teaching them responsibility, yes, we tell them, you know, you ought to be responsible, young man. But then we illustrate that. We tell them how to be responsible. Then we exemplify that. We teach them a lesson. We show it and demonstrate it in our own lives. Plus, we give them tasks to perform. We give them duties to perform. And we hold them accountable for them. In their failure, we punish them. In their completion, we praise them. We teach them responsibility that way. And you know, you look out at all the young people today, in fact, many of the young adults today, how many of them have been taught responsibility? That's the parents' duty, to teach them responsibility. Self-control. Teach them how to say no. They need to realize that just as Joseph said no to Potiphar's wife's advancements, they can say no to sexual allurements. They can say no to their friends enticing them to drink alcohol, to take drugs, to go places that they shouldn't go. They can say no. They can control themselves. Young people aren't dumb. They can be the people that they want to be. And we need to encourage them and teach them how to be the people that God wants them to be. Engaging self-control in their own life. We need to teach them love and affection. As parents, we need to teach them love and affection. And that begins by telling them, yes, you need to be loving, you need to be affectionate, but then illustrate that and demonstrate that in your own life with your own spouse. Show them what love and affection is. Too many children, friend, are growing up today not knowing what love is. Now, they need to also be taught how to choose their associates, how to choose their friends. Again, that's very important. They need to be taught. They need to be warned. They need also, though, to see you exercising the very same principle. What kind of friends do you have? We need to make our friends primarily among those who are members of the body of Christ. But we need to demonstrate how we need to choose our friends, how to make good decisions. Demonstrate that. They need to think. Don't act on your emotions. Don't act by feeling. Stop. Be patient. Think things out before you act, before you speak. Make good decisions. Think about the implications, the consequences of your decision. Our children need to learn those things. Who's going to teach them if it's not the parents? Primarily and fundamentally, it's your responsibility. How to work with others. Children need to be taught how to get along with other people, even people that they don't agree with. And you'd be taught these things. And these are just a few things. Formulate good habits. How do you formulate good habits in the life of your child? You help them by doing things that will become habit-forming for them, like bringing them to Bible class, bringing them to Bible study, bringing them to worship services, providing a good example in that life, helping them to formulate good habits. Now, we might think about, first of all, when you talk about formulating good habits, brushing your teeth and taking a bath and, you know, things like that. But most importantly, what about the spiritual habits that we need to get our children involved in? We need to get them involved. And attending services, get a habit going. Parents are to be obeyed, implying parental authority. Parents are to be respected, implying parental importance. Fathers are responsible for training their children. That implies stewardship. Are we exercising our authority? Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That is a general rule. I understand that. It's a proverbial expression, but at the same time, it is generally true. It is generally true. So we need to exercise that. Parents, your children need you. Your children need you to be the parents that God wants you to be, that God has taught you to be. Your parents are important as children. Your parents are important in your life, and they need to take that role. But you know what else? The Lord needs you. The Lord needs you to be the parent that you ought to be. He desires it, and not only that, He requires it. But for His kingdom to flourish, He needs you to be godly parents. Please do not forsake that. The church needs you. And we've been talking for a while now about our educational system here, our spiritual, our Bible classes, and we have been trying to improve those. And we're looking for ideas, continually looking for ideas. But you know what? We need first and foremost the commitment and dedication from all of our parents to get involved in the teaching process. I don't mean just being teachers. I mean getting involved by bringing your children, by participating, by giving us ideas to help us formulate the best curriculum and the best method by which we can teach and help you teach your children things of God. We need your help, and we need you in that regard, but we also need you to help be the parent that you need to be to help us in the future. Because every elder, every deacon, every song leader, every preacher, every person who becomes a faithful child of God has parents. And how much easier it is for them to be taught by you and trained by you so that they can take upon themselves those responsibilities and duties. The church needs you. The community needs you. The community needs godly parents. Parents who are committed to their children. But primarily that is because they are committed to the Lord, to their God, first and foremost. Every community is going to be better off when it is loaded down with godly parents. And the world, tell you what, the world is a terrible place. It is a place where a lot of evil people reside. The world needs you. Hope this lesson has been profitable to you. And I hope that you take some of the things that I've said. Again, I'm not the perfect parent by any means. All you have to do is ask my sons and ask my wife and they'll tell you. I'm not the perfect parent. But I do know what the Bible teaches us. And I do know of many of the principles as we apply them and how they can best be applied to us. And I think if we follow the things that we talked about this morning, that not only will we be the parents that we ought to be, but our children will become the people that we want them to be. And not only that, the church will be stronger for it. And the Lord will be praised. If you're here this morning, if you're not a Christian, first of all, I haven't said anything about that. But that's where everything begins. As a parent, as a child, it doesn't make any difference. If you're old enough to know what you need to do, then you need to commit yourself first and foremost to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you believe that He is the Son of God, then why not turn away from your sinful life and turn to Him and allow Him to guide you and direct you in all things? And why not confess Him before this audience this morning and then be buried with Him in baptism for the remission of your sins? You can be raised to walk in this life as a new creature and submit to His teachings and turn your life around. We can all do that. But if you are here this morning and you are a Christian, and you're not living as you should, you need to make some corrections in your life. Do whatever you need to do this morning. Do whatever you need to do. We'll help you. We'll encourage you. We'll try to do our best to strengthen you. If there's anything we can do, won't you come? Together we stand and sing the song that's been selected.